Today on More to Life, lifeguard. Is someone you care about struggling? Let's talk about how you can help without making things worse or allowing yourself to be dragged under the water as well. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Lifeguard. We're talking about helping other people. And, you know, is someone you care about struggling? We want to talk about how you can be helpful in ways that actually are helpful. You know, sometimes we try to help others, we end up making things worse. Or as we try to help them, we end up getting dragged under the water as well, so to speak. How can we be helpful effectively?
Well, and sometimes when we try to help, they get angry. The relationship gets complicated. You feel like you're being your best, and yet they're treating you like you're the worst. It can get really problematic.
We all think that person will really appreciate our help, and then
this is my way of showing them that I love them and doing something good for them because God would want me to, and then it doesn't really work out.
Yeah. So what do you do? How can we fulfill that call that God places on our heart, that desire that we do have to be a blessing to others, to use the gifts God has given us to help others, and to be generous in our service to others, especially the people we care about? But how can we do that in ways that are actually helpful? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So perhaps you want to help a loved one who's having a hard time, but you aren't sure what to say or what to do. Now, perhaps it's your spouse who's going through a difficult time, but is either reluctant to talk about it or just doesn't even see the problem. Maybe it's a young child who's having a hard time listening to you or dealing with a problem with peers or with school, or an adult child who you're concerned for. Aren't we all concerned if we have adult children? But you're nervous about butting in where you're not necessarily welcome. Perhaps you have a loved one who's struggling with some kind of mental health or addiction problem, and you're not sure what in the world to do. Or a friend who's constantly complaining about their life or relationship, but never does anything about it. I've been through that. Let us help you discover the best ways to be helpful in every situation you might be going through. Give us a call today and let's give you great ideas and connect you with God's grace on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And again, the show is titled Lifeguard, as we talk about how to help others in ways that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825. And, you know, as we were kind of reflecting on the topic, I think that, you mentioned, Lisa, the adult children. That's a really challenging thing in particular. I mean, we've even gone through that where, you want to be helpful to your adult kids. You have some perspective. You've got some experience. And sometimes, whether you're right or not, I'll just put that out there, whether you're right or not, it seems like the answer to some of their questions are fairly straightforward and simple. And you just kind of want to say, hey, how about just doing this?
Yeah, like, hey, numbskull. No, like, there are those moments. But there's also those moments where I think so many of us who have adult children want to protect them from mistakes that we've made, from the hurt of going through adulting for the first time. So we either, as you were saying, Greg, see the way that they should go and want to tell them the way that they should go, or we actually will do anything to protect them. So we're extremely generous. We get together with them all the time, or invite them over and send home like 400 meals every time they come over. Those things that we think, oh, this will make their life so much easier. I wish someone had done this for me, or I appreciated when somebody had done this for me. And yet then they get angry because they feel like we don't trust them. We're infantilizing them. They can do it themselves. They want to do it a different way. And that's when it gets messy, as we were talking about.
You know, and we've had to learn that balance, you know, to really listen better to what they need. Sometimes give them the space to struggle if they need to. And that's really hard to do because as parents, we don't ever want to see our kids struggle.
And also just to ask.
Yeah.
You know, instead of assuming they need this or this is the way they should go, developing the relationship in an adult way well enough that you can ask and find out more about who they are and what they want, and then they can ask you for what they need from you.
Yeah. But that's us. But what about you? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us help you help the people that you care about more effectively, whether that is your spouse who's going through a tough time but is reluctant to either talk about it, doesn't see the problem, or a young child who's dealing with a discipline issue, or an adult child who you're concerned for but not sure how to broach the topic, a loved one who's dealing with a mental health or addiction problem, or just a friend who's, you know, constantly calling and talking your ear off about their problems but maybe never quite doing anything about it. Let us help. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. Now, you might reasonably wonder, how can some theology help me deal with helping people in ways that are helpful? Well, it turns out the answer to that question is kind of a lot, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, really looked hard at the question, how could we take everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, and discern some universal principles for human flourishing and building healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body. And it kind of applies to most challenges we face in everyday life.
It truly does. And that's exactly the gift that St. John Paul II was trying to give to us. And when we look at the theology of the body, we see that it reminds us that being genuinely helpful to others isn't just about having a good heart. And I have to say, it's amazing that it comes from a theology of body, because this is the man who carried a woman for miles on a train track after the war when she was just there and desolate. This is a man with a great heart. But he teaches us that it's actually about learning how to love wisely. The theology of the body teaches that Christian effectiveness depends on holding two virtues together at the same time. The first being loving. And the second is being responsible.
In fact, that was the title of his first book, Love and Responsibility. And being loving means that we never stop working for the good of the other person, right? We're called to invite, encourage, challenge, and support the people in our lives to become whatever God created them to be, to bring out the best in them. You know, Christian love isn't passive. It doesn't settle for whatever keeps the peace. You know, real love seeks growth and healing and holiness for them and for us.
But to be truly loving is also consistent with the need to be responsible. And that means we don't just react emotionally to the people and the problems around us, but oh my goodness, don't we want to? We can't just rush in to fix or rescue or placate or say whatever feels right in the moment. Instead, we keep praying. And we stay receptive to the Holy Spirit. And we ask, how is God asking me to work for this person's good? Taking into account their response to my efforts and the circumstances that we're in.
Right, so we don't just keep plowing ahead, doing what we always did and expecting to get a different result. You know, without love and responsibility together, even well-intentioned help can backfire. You know, we enable instead of empower. We say yes when love actually requires a thoughtful no. or we confront without taking the time to discern the right path, and we end up doing more harm than good. But by being both loving and responsible, we can gain clarity about the right thing to pursue, working for the other person's good and bringing out the best in them, and the right way to pursue it, you know, responding prayerfully, attentively, and respectfully to how God's moving in the situation. And that's when our help becomes truly helpful, because it cooperates with the grace instead of getting in its way.
And I think that the image that I'm getting as we're discussing this, Greg, is as parents of, say, a small child, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they're learning to do a skill. I'm going to go real old school here. I don't even know if we have to do this really anymore, because none of the kids in our lives have shoelaces. It's all Velcro. But when we needed to teach a child to tie their shoe, because it is a skill to learn to tie something, or dress themselves well, we will get to a point with a small child where they will start to get angry and they'll say, "Do it myself! I'll do it by myself!" And we have to remember that that is really the precursor of how everyone feels. We all want that sense of independence. We all want to be respected for having skills as we learn them. But then as the person who's trying to help, we sometimes see that they're never going to get this skill or that ability unless someone is helping them. So how do we balance all this? How do we do what people need? How do we be helpful? And how do we do what God wants us to do in the situation? That's what we're talking about here on More to Life Today. Give us a call with your questions about this topic or the people in your life you're trying to help at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
The show is called Lifeguard, and we're talking about helping people in ways that are actually helpful. And if you are trying to help someone that's blowing up in your face or making things worse or frustrating you, let us help you help them in ways that are helpful. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, we bring to you those people that we care about who are struggling, those people who we really want to help, whether that's our spouse, or younger, or adult children, a friend or family member. Help us to know how to intervene, when to intervene, what to say, what to do, that will actually be perceived as helpful and will actually produce good fruit. Help us to avoid the temptation to just rush in and do what feels right or what keeps the peace or what just avoids conflict. But instead, help us to know how to respond in ways that will bring out the best in those around us, in ways that that will help them respond more effectively to the challenges in front of them. Help us to draw closer to them and to you. Help us to be both loving and responsible so that we can cooperate with your grace to be the blessing you call us to be to each person we encounter in our lives. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Lifeguard, as we talk about those times when we are trying to help somebody that we see is sort of splashing around in the water there and having a hard time keeping their head above water. And then we dive in and either start drowning ourselves or they start going under and we don't know what to do. It's frustrating. It's scary. It's difficult to know, because on the one hand, we want to be generous. On the other hand, when we try, sometimes it doesn't work out. Let us help you find ways to help others in ways that are helpful at 877-573-7825.
We have a question here from Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio. She says, "My brother is recently divorced from his wife. He left his house and gave it up to his wife and 4-year-old son. They still own it jointly, but he wants his son to be able to live in a safe place and not have any more change in his life. My husband and I think that this is a virtuous choice, and since he was truly brokenhearted and not in good financial shape, we let him move in with us. He has been with us now for 6 months, and he gets up and goes to work every day, but he does very little else. He barely helps around the house. He doesn't go out anymore, even to church. He says now that he's divorced, he doesn't see a reason to. He seems to be getting into a darker and darker headspace. Should we do something? And if so, what? Do we need to make him move out, or will that just make it even worse? We want to help him, but we're also concerned that his behavior and his mood is not good for him, but also will have a bad effect on our children, who are 4, 6, and 9. Any suggestions would be helpful. And that's Maria in Michigan.
Maria, yeah, thanks for the question. And, you know, I think you are right that it was a very generous choice on his part to do this for his son. But I do think that at this point he is displaying some signs of depression. I don't know how severe it is at this point, but you can kind of check that by having some conversations with him. And here's what I want you to do, all right? You want to start by empathizing and saying, hey, listen, I know this is a really hard time for you, and we're really happy to have you here and to be able to support you in whatever ways that we can. But I am a little concerned that I see you just kind of pulling back from life, from everything from, you know, just being more productive, looking for, you know, ways that you could be helpful to, you know, to not going to church. And you know, I one of the ways that I want to be helpful to you here is by kind of challenging you a little bit, because we really need, you know, if you're gonna stay here, and we're happy to have you, we kind of need you to contribute a little bit more to having the household go well, both because we could use the help and as an example to our kids. You know, we are concerned that, you know, you are just sort of hiding out, and if you need some help to kind of get back into life and start feeling better, then maybe it would be important to seek some counseling help. But, you know, at the very least, we need to see you contributing a little bit more to the household, doing a little bit more with us, and, you know, and just being more a part of, you know, the family and life.
And it's okay to let him know that our mood, our feeling of efficacy, our ability to fight back against darker feelings is moved in a positive direction with every small positive step we take. So not only do you need him to help around the house because he's a person living in the house and he needs to be doing that, but every time he washes a dish, vacuums the living room, fluffs a pillow when he's leaving, you know, the couch for the evening, he will have a sense that he can do something. Every time he goes out to dinner with your family and is out in the world and has to have conversations with the server or with you or see the world functioning, he'll have a little bit more of a sense of, okay, that was uncomfortable, but I can do this.
And with regard to the church thing, you know, you can acknowledge, look, I understand that you might be angry with God, you can be frustrated with God, you know, you could be struggling in your spiritual life. That's all fine. That's all natural for where you're at. But two things. One, we don't struggle with somebody by avoiding them. And, you know, it's okay to struggle with God, it's okay to struggle with your faith, but it's not okay to avoid it. And secondly, it's a bad example to our kids. Mm. And so those are two points. Those are two reasons that we want you to keep going to church with us. Because I do believe that by continuing to show up, by continuing to join family prayer, for example, you know, that you can wrestle with God better than just hiding out and avoiding him. And secondly, we really do need you to be a good example to our kids about staying faithful, even when we're struggling. So those are some things I'd like you to suggest to him and talk with him about, Maria. If there's more that we can do to support you in helping your brother get back on his feet, don't hesitate to reach out to us. But you've been very generous, and I think that this is a reasonable next step, even if he doesn't respond terrifically well to it at first. It's the right thing to do. And let us know how it goes. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. The show today titled Lifeguard, as we talk about helping the people around us in ways that are actually helpful. So if you are struggling to know what to do without making things worse or allowing yourself to be dragged under the water too, give us a call, 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be talking about, well, saving some room for the Holy Spirit. What's that got to do with helping others? Find out when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Lifeguard. Is someone you care about struggling in some way and you're not sure how to help? Let us talk about how to help you help them in ways that are helpful. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Hey, Bill. Welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both. Always love to be on the show with you, Dr. Greg and Lisa.
It's great to have you with us. And so, you know, we were talking over the break that you wanted to share a little bit about the idea of leaving some room for the Holy Spirit, which, you know, sounds like I'm in at the sixth grade dance with Sister James. What are you talking about, Bill?
Yeah. That's where I was. Just being honest with your topic, that's the word that popped into my head. What does that mean? Well, I just love the topic, by the way, because we can feel like we can slide into two different ways of thinking with this topic about helping others. We can think it's all up to us or it's all up to God. But we're really invited into this dance with God. We're invited into, you know, this leading of the Holy Spirit, right? Leaving room for the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we come off as somebody just pointing fingers and always correcting. Or we're just, it's not my problem. So I just love it. And it came to mind also, a quote from John Paul II's Theology of the Body, that the invisible determines man more than the visible. In other words, like the Holy Spirit really is present. And if we can step back and leave room for the Holy Spirit, we will have the words to say. We will have the right words to say that will fit the situation. So it's a place of incredible vulnerability, like a dance.
Yeah, and, you know, what you're really talking about here, too, is something that psychologists refer to as mindfulness, but we could call it just receptivity. The idea of there needing to be space between our reaction and our response to a situation, right? And the more space we can create there, the more we can exercise free will. Because if there isn't space between, say, the reaction and the response, then we just kind of do whatever our gut tells us to do, whether it's the smart thing or not. But by creating that space for the Holy Spirit that you're talking about,
a holy pause, if you will,
we can actually kind of cooperate more effectively with God's grace, give our brain a second or two to catch up with what's going on, and make better, healthier, loving and responsible choices.
Exactly. And how attractive is this in our relationships with ourselves, with others, within our family. Again, otherwise, you know, if we're taking the wheel, it can get ugly. If we don't do a thing and hand over the wheel to God, that can also feel empty. So this is very attractive when we're very conscious of the invisible presence of God. I'm trying to work it out as a husband and a father and a brother, but there's a power to it. And I think it's the power of trusting God. Like he can see all ends, and we're at his service in whatever this might be, the situation of helping others.
Good stuff, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if folks would like to learn more about the Theology of the Body Institute, are you guys going to have any courses coming up? Anything, any offerings we should let our listeners know about?
I've got a talk coming up in a few weeks in the Midwest outside of Chicago, speaking at St. John's Lutheran Church to our Lutheran brothers and sisters, and open to Catholics as well. It's coming up on February 12th.
Excellent. And of course, folks can always get more information about all the different offerings of the Theology of the Body Institute by going to tobinstitute.org. I always forget. I'm sorry.
.org.
tobinstitute.org. Bill, thanks again for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Lifeguard, as we talk about how to be helpful to other people in ways that are actually helpful. You know, is someone you care about struggling in some way, in big ways or small ways? And whether we're talking about, say, a little kid who's having a hard time listening or dealing with a school issue, or, you know, a big person who's got some bigger problems and you want to help them, but you're not sure how. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up after the break.
Sin creates a proclivity to sin, the Catholic Catechism teaches. It develops vice by repetition of the same wrong act. Thus, sin tends to reinforce and reproduce itself. Vice can be linked to the capital sins, which are called capital because they can engender other sins and other vices. The capital sins are pride, avarice, envy, wrath, lust, gluttony, and sloth. Sin is a personal act, but we can also be responsible for the sins of others under certain conditions. Sin can make men accomplices of one another, the Catechism warns, causing concupiscence, violence, and injustice to reign among them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. St. John Bosco is an important saint for Catholic families. Although he wasn't a parent, he was renowned for being a compassionate Christian teacher and the founder of a religious order dedicated to helping and educating children. At the time, people believed that children were little better than animals who responded only to physical punishment and harsh correction. One day in prayer, St. John Bosco received a heavenly vision where the Blessed Mother told him that children should be corrected not with blows, but with sweetness and charity. Deeply moved by this vision, Bosco developed an approach to discipline he called the preventive system, in contrast to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of his day. He taught his followers that even the most willful, defiant children would offer their heartfelt obedience if they were treated with love and respect. And not only did his approach work, but it raised a saint. His student, Saint Dominic Savio, is often called the first fruit of the preventive system. To learn more about Saint John Bosco and his preventive system, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the WTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today's show is titled Lifeguard, as we talk about the challenge we all have in helping the people we care about who are struggling in ways that are actually helpful. You know, rather than diving in and making things worse or getting dragged down in the drama ourselves, how can you be helpful to others in ways that actually bear good fruit? 877-573-7825.
Well, before we talk to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner. Sacred Heart Radio of the Northwest is serving Washington State and Kodiak, Alaska with 12 stations, and they are celebrating 25 years with us this week.
Congratulations to Ron Belcher and his great team at Sacred Heart Radio of the Northwest from all of us here at EWTN Radio.
And we're talking today about people who want to help, and don't our radio partners help everyone so much by bringing you EWTN Radio, where you can grow in your faith, get answers to your problems, and hear the news the way truth speaks. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry, and we thank all of our radio partners for doing it.
But of course, Catholic Radio needs your help as well, so make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station wherever you are tuning in with your prayers and certainly with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Thanks again to Ron Belcher and his team at Sacred Heart Catholic Radio of the Northwest, and everyone who makes EWTN Radio possible, especially you, the listener.
Amen.
With that, we are taking your calls right now, and our show titled Lifeguard is someone you care about struggling, needing some help, and you're not sure what to do? Let us help you find ways to help them that are helpful. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Pam, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Pam, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little nervous, so I'll do my best. I have.
We promise we don't bite. What's going on?
Not anymore, anyway.
We have an adult daughter who's 26, and she's out of state. She's living with her boyfriend, and he's very verbally and physically abusive. She's lost several jobs. I don't know if she has a job right now or not. I know she had an offer on Monday. And she's also recently had a problem with alcohol use disorder. She's been drinking so that she blacks out. She called me from her basement and said he doesn't want her to talk with us anymore.
Yeah, of course, because you know, you might actually bring some sanity and light into her life.
Right.
You said she's out of state. How far away is she?
Florida to Massachusetts.
That's a bit. Okay.
A flight away. And she's been down. She was down at Christmas for about 2-3 weeks. And
with or without him?
Without him. So
without
no problem
him.
Staying off of alcohol. She was back to her, you know, seemed like normal behavior. And we encouraged her to stay. But she says she loves him and wanted to go back. So now she's having trouble. She's, you know, calling in distress, and now she's no contact.
So she said that her boyfriend didn't want her to have anything to do with you anymore.
Right.
But she has actually dropped off the radar at this point.
That was the last conversation on Sunday. Yes.
Okay, so this was just on Sunday.
And so since, you know, I've texted and she isn't reading the texts, and she's, and I know she had told me before that he holds her phone, keeps her keys, car keys, her license.
Good golly.
You know, very, very controlling. And so we don't, you know, we don't know what to do. I've been up there off and on over the past year. And as soon as she, you know, sobers up after she's been drinking, she goes right back to him and says everything's fine.
All right. So I'm curious. I mean, I guess there are a couple of ways to go here. All right. So the first way would be to try to bring it to a head, but that may or may not be effective. So I guess I'm just curious. If you showed up on our doorstep one day and said, "Hey, look, I'm here. I'd love to take you back home if you're willing to come with us." How do you think she would respond? Would that just make everything worse, or do you think she's looking for that lifeline at this point?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. I know that when either we have gone up there or our son that now lives just in Maine, a closer state, mm-hmm. has driven there, mm-hmm. She's asked for help. She hasn't really left, but she's, you know, asked for help. Can you bring me to a doctor?
Sure. All right. So there are kind of two ways to go with this at this point. And I'd like you to really kind of think and pray about it, and see, you know, as you continue to reflect. And I also talk with your son about this, okay? So the first way is to stage a kind of an intervention. This is not actually what an intervention is, but I'm going to use that word, okay? Where you and your son, and you know, show up, you know, and just say, "Hey, look, you know, you've dropped off the radar. We're worried about you. We would like for you to come back with us to Florida." And I know your son's in Maine, but you want him there for moral support. So you know, so you kind of show up and you just, you know, have this kind of what's called an enactment. You know, you create a little bit of a crisis and see where things kind of shake out. You'd want your son there for that support, just to kind of have the people that love her be present. And so you could try that approach. The other one is just kind of patiently stepping back, continuing the text, letting her know that you're there, that you love her. Keep the texts chatty, friendly, not focused on any kind of problems. You don't even have to say we're worried about you. In fact, if the boyfriend is monitoring her phone, it's better if you don't. And just, you know, keep, "Hey, this is what happened. I'm praying for you guys. If there's anything you need, let me know." You know, that kind of, you know, just friendly, current events, kind of chatty, keeping the channel of, you know, communication open if she wants to reach out to you, and continuing to pray for her. So those are really your two options at this point. I'm kind of leaning toward the more interventionist approach, where you show up on a doorstep one day and, you know, just say, "Hey, look, we're worried about you," and whatever. But you know, again, I want you to talk with your son about that. I want you guys to be praying about that. And really think hard about how she might respond. And maybe you want to wait on it a little bit, you know, as you're continuing to text, see if she starts to text back. But if not, rather than losing her altogether, I think it's worth a try, you know, to make that push. But sometimes, you know, to actually get help, people really do need to hit bottom. And that's a terrifying thing to say. Yeah, it's a terrifying thing to try to live out. But sometimes giving that person the space they need to really realize that they need help is really important, in which case the second approach, where you're just kind of keeping up the chatty texts and letting her know that you're there if she needs anything, but not being too direct about, you know, your concern for her, because if the boyfriend's monitoring the phone, then, you know, you're that's not going to work. So those are really your two options. I'd like you to think about it a little bit more, pray about it, and if you want to run your thoughts past us again, once you've had a chance to process this, don't hesitate to call us back. I'd be happy to talk with you more about this. Or if you'd like more ongoing guidance, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com so you can get the faithful support you need to really navigate this and know how to be there for her and for you to process the stress of dealing with this as well. And that's CatholicCounselors.com if you'd like more ongoing support. Pam, thanks so much for the call. I hope that these suggestions will help kind of clarify your options at this point. And if there's more we can do to support you once you've had a chance to really think and pray about it, please don't hesitate to reach back out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show today titled Lifeguard, as we talk about caring for those people in our life who are struggling in some way, big or small. It could be, you know, one of your kids, little kids, who's having a behavior problem or struggling at school and you're not sure how to support them through that. Or a big person you care about who's dealing with bigger problems and you're not sure how to support them. Either way, we want to be generous. We feel God's call to be helpful to others. We want to use our gifts and experience to be a blessing to others, but sometimes it's hard to know how to do that in ways that actually will bear fruit. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20.
Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak.
And again, you know, kind of going back to what Bill Donahue was saying during his segment, you know, about leaving room for the Holy Spirit, that kind of old joke, you know, about high school or
college dances. Yeah.
You know, it's just as true for any situation where we want to make sure that we're leaving a little bit of room for the Holy Spirit between our reactions and our responses, that we don't just do what our gut says to do in the moment, but rather really look hard at, all right, Lord, you know, what are you calling me to do? How can I bring out the best in this person? And how do you want me to approach that? So again, loving responsibly. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
It's the new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Lisa Popcheck with CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
2026 promises to be a great year for travel, to explore the Bible and our Catholic heritage. Steve and Janet Ray here. We're scheduling our favorite pilgrimage sites just for you to enrich your faith. Ireland, Lourdes and Fatima, our St. Paul Mediterranean cruise. As always, we have the best Catholic guides, hotels, and restaurants in our famous time-tested Footprints of God pilgrimages.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled Lifeguard, as we talk about the people in our life who are struggling and how we can help them in ways that are actually helpful. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Andrea, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Andrea. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning.
You're breaking up, Andrea. We're not really able to hear you. Are you able to get to a place where you have a stronger signal? Try again.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, that is better.
Okay, go for it.
Let's try that.
Awesome. So my family and I are kind of going through, I guess, like a change. My son was going to a charter school. He had gotten into some, like, some trouble where there were, like, behavioral issues involved. Like, the first time he had, like, been, I guess, involved with, you know, it was just kind of like a matter of behavioral issues. He had exposed himself. They were kind of going through, like, these disciplinary hearing. We were going through disciplinary hearings with him and
this
everything.
Is, he's 6 years old.
He's you six, said, you told yes. And yes. So we, my husband and I didn't even wait for them to come back with a decision. We just pulled him out of there because we could see him struggling. So we put him back into a district school. He's been there since, like, before Christmas. We had, like, an ARD meeting with them, and an ARD meeting is kind of like a, when you have a special education student, you have to have, like, these yearly meetings with the administration to see, like, what type of services they're going to offer. And so...
So he's been diagnosed with some kind of developmental issue? What's the background there?
So, yeah, so he's deaf in his left ear, and he's also been diagnosed with ADHD, and they were about to test him for autism at his old school, but we had pulled him out. And mm-hmm. So now they're suggesting that he go into a behavioral classroom, but it's not at... It wasn't at the current school he was at. He would have to go back to his home campus. And so I had kind of prepped him for it. I said, hey, buddy, you're going to go to a new class. You know, this is going to be totally different. But I have pretty much advocated and fought for him to not be separated like this. And I'm, like, I don't know how to navigate it. Like, at first I was having a really hard time. I was crying at the ARD meeting. And I've been a bulldog for him. But I kind of don't know how to help him because now this is kind of like a first step to like going to alternative school. And I need to know how to stay consistent to what they're doing at school. Like they'll tell me what they're doing, but I don't know how to help him at home. Like Dad and I have been trying like a lot of different things. Like we've like kind of like taken away video games, of course, and we don't want them to be like him or his siblings to be on the TV too much. And so we're trying to help him. Like I feel like he has something to give as far as like, he does have special talents. He's very smart. And I feel like maybe I should give him like a sport. Like we were my husband and I were trying to talk about like maybe putting him in football or karate. Music,
okay.
Something.
Hey, Andrew, let me jump in because I think that you're, I mean, the things you're suggesting are all fine, but none of them really address the problem, right? I mean, you know, so if he's having problems, you know, socializing with other kids, taking away video games or TV, and not even as a punishment, you know, just saying, you know, I understand that again, generically speaking, that can help with attention or help decrease impulsivity. But it doesn't really help him deal with specific problems that he's facing. Same thing with, you know, karate. Those are fine things to do, but they don't really teach him social skills or behavioral skills, right? It'll help him learn karate and maybe get a little bit more comfortable in his body, but he won't understand how to get along any better with other people or react appropriately in situations. The best thing that you can do at home is, number one, be asking, okay, what are the things that he is doing at school that are inappropriate? How could we practice those things at home
in an appropriate manner?
So, you know, I don't have time to get into more detail, right? But it is with specific examples. But I'll just come up with certain things. So, for example, if he is being rude to the teacher, you know, well, you can certainly practice respect and helping him develop a better vocabulary for expressing his feelings at home, you know, where you actually rehearse, you know, how to say things appropriately, having him do over that behavior in a way that's appropriate. If he's being impulsive and he's not following through with things, you can certainly have him practice following through at home more effectively and making sure that the jobs you ask him to do are done well. And it's all about creating that structure that enables him to practice the behaviors and the skills that he is struggling with at school, as opposed to kind of throwing these random you know, things that are beneficial in the abstract at him, but don't really address the specific problems he's wrestling with. And if you don't know what to do, then you need to be making sure that you guys are getting family counseling as well that can work with somebody who could really help train you and your husband on how to help him respond to these different things so that he, so that you guys can really work through this well together. You said that you're a bulldog, and that's a great thing to advocate for him, but what you really need to be doing is making sure that he is in an environment where he can succeed. Right, and if you want him to stay in the mainstream classroom, then you're going to have to teach him those skills to help him stay in the mainstream classroom. Just advocating for him to stay there, without helping him develop the skills to stay there, just sets him up for failure, over and over and over again. And where he'll decompensate, and his social relationships will fall apart, and you guys will get a kind of bad rep at the school. That doesn't help anybody.
You really want to be focusing, talking with your husband, praying about this, and coming up with a way to truly structure your home. So less video games, less TV is great, because what it gives you time for is doing things together as a family. So if you're working on something in the house, a chore together, dusting the living room, cleaning things up, if he starts to wander off, or he gets grumpy, or he starts to tussle with his brother and sister, that everything stops, and you practice how to do it correctly until it is being done correctly.
And then you get back to doing the task together. And
together.
This is something, you're doing these chores as a family, all together, learning how to do stuff.
Because in the family, he's in a small classroom, the classroom of love, and so he needs to be having all your children. And mom and dad will benefit from having this kind of structure. If you're playing a game together as a family and he starts to get frustrated, you stop, you take everybody with and get a deep breath, you talk about how the togetherness is more important than the game, you get him re-regulated, and you go back to it so he can practice doing it well. You don't just stop everything because he's having a hard time.
It's this structure that we talk about, this we call the liturgy of domestic church life. There are 12 habits altogether, but what we're really mainly focusing on right now is the importance of working, playing, talking, and praying together as a family every day. And when you do those things, so when you, for example, as a family, washing the dishes together, that requires you to kind of stay on task and focus on the job and all be in the same place, kind of supporting each other, getting through that thing. If you're playing a game together, you're having to learn the rules of that game and learn how to take turns and learn how to handle frustration well.
But you don't just say, oh, well, this doesn't work because he has whatever, or sibling is dealing with whatever. You say, how do we make this work together as a family? And you're honest about it. We are learning the skills to survive in life and thrive. We are going to stop and do this together. So you have regularly scheduled, breakfast together. Everybody gets dressed appropriately. There's a bedtime routine, and you have these times during the day. The biggest bulldog you can be right now is gathering your family together and giving them a loving but structured way of life, where every time you see he's sliding away from being able to be successful in this, and that's true for your other children as well, you draw them together and you practice and you practice and you practice like anything else, just like you would want if you saw that his teacher was picking up on him not having a skill that he needed to learn to be able to move on in school, that she stopped and retaught it until he learned it. That would be a great teacher, and that's what you need to be doing for him, Andrew.
If you'd like to learn more about this framework we're talking about, we teach this on the Catholic HOM app. This would not replace my recommendation for family counseling for you. We can do coaching on the app with helping parents through specific situations, but we can't do counseling. But it would give you the resources and the structure and some support to be able to learn how to live these habits at the home that would create an environment that I think will begin to teach him the things that he's needing to learn. But that's so important. So I encourage you to download the Catholic Home app. Against Catholic HOM stands for Households on Mission, to get the coaching support and the creative resources and this framework that I think will be really beneficial. I'm going to just throw out one other thing here, and this is for you, Andrea, and anybody else. I personally, and this is just my personal opinion, think it's irresponsible for anybody to diagnose a child under 7 with ADHD, because kids can't even connect actions and consequences consistently until they're at least over 7. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean a kid has a problem. What it means is that this is the time to teach a child how to connect actions with consequences and how to pay attention and how to follow through on things. And a lot of that has to do with the structure in the home. You know, do we as a family work, play, talk, and pray together mm-hmm. every day? Do we as a family read stories together so that we can kind of practice concentration? Do we as a family have regular family meals so they can learn to sit at the table and interact with each other and focus on things? Or is everybody running naked and wild all the time? Because if that's the case, then that's not ADHD. That's just a chaotic family situation, right? So I just really want to encourage everybody who's listening, especially you, Andrea, that the best way to be a bulldog right now is to make sure that your family has a structure that is teaching him the skills that he needs, as opposed to just sort of throwing random, generically positive things at this issue. Thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But again, download the Catholic HOM app for more basic support. And listeners, if you are struggling to know how to help someone in ways that are actually helpful and without stressing yourself out, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to find faithful ways to support you. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.